All right, so the hole starts out slightly wooded and finishes with fairly open area, about at least the size of the circle, maybe a little bit bigger. The green is pretty flat overall, but the course is not flat. Do I keep describing it?
Oh, you keep going until we guess it.
Okay. The tee box is turf. It's built up a little bit. It's in a rocky throwing area with a lot of trees around it. I don't know if they're necessarily pine trees, but if I had to guess, they're
the par
either
of
that.
Hole?
Oh, the par is a three.
Okay.
It's a par three. It starts out, you're throwing out of this gap. Typically, your shot, if you're throwing right-handed backhand, has a little flex to it, starting left to right and then letting it carry a long ways, close to 500 feet, and then hyzering down left.
Whoa. I'm so lost right now.
Okay, give us the continent it's in.
Norway.
The continent Norway. I haven't played that course.
I guess that's the country. Continent's Europe.
This is
the downhill, the big downhill.
This is hole 10.
A couple
no.
big downhills.
This is hole 5 at, no, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is hole 4 at Crokel.
Correct.
Oh. Wow, that took us way too long. That was a good description, too. Now, you know, the crazy thing is, as they're describing it to you, you're so lost, and then once you see the hole that it is, you rethink their description, and you're like, oh, my God, that was perfect.
Yeah, the only thing I would have I left out is I should have said OB on the right, trees on the left. But
it's okay. I haven't played that course, so I'll let it slide.
Huge thank you to Mr. Paul Macbeth for doing the little intro to our episode. We're staying with Paul and his wife and son this week here in Lodi, California, for the first major of the season. This is one of my favorite groups of the year so far for our little squad, and I've had an absolute blast walking around with your little boy all over the house. He's a freaking joy. So thanks for treating us to that.
I want to apologize for slamming the door.
Oh, that was
that
so
was pretty
funny.
Sad. But the positive note is he slept until 8 because of that. So I got extra hours sleep.
Worth it.
All right, he's got to get back to feeding. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm not playing it. I'm only playing the two majors in Europe this year. And welcome back, everyone. Crush Pepper, special guest, Paul Macbeth, who is our Airbnb host this week. And we are in Stockton. Actually, we are in Lodi, as I call it, Lodi.
Lodi.
California. And tomorrow starts the Champions Cup, first major of the year. And I would say we're feeling pretty good.
I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling less than great, but I'll be feeling great by tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is the first episode that wasn't 1 week after a previous episode. We took a little off week. I'm honestly impressed we got through 15 episodes before the first time we didn't do it regularly, weekly. Eagle and myself, drove a combined
25 hours.
No, because if it's combined between you and me
combined.
Together from Kansas City, that's 26 hours each. So
well,
52 hours of driving.
Yeah. From Kansas City, it's like technically like 25 hours. So,
okay.
But I mean, when it says 25 hours, it means probably close to 30.
And I,
30. You,
I
you
went,
took a long way.
So then we can
I was
say 52.
I was stalking you on maps.
You were stalking me?
You stalk me.
I know I stalk you. I was actually in Tahoe and I stalked you and I was stunned you hadn't left Colorado yet. I was expecting you to be like halfway across Nevada and you were in Louisville and I didn't even go look at the map because I saw Louisville, Colorado. I was like, oh my God, he hasn't even left yet.
Yeah, I left on midday Friday of last week. I needed to get an oil change. Shout out my boy Julio Martinez at Mike Maroney Ford dealership. He's a disc golfer, and he makes scheduling service very easily. So got the van all oil changed, serviced, ready to go, and drove out over 1,000 miles from Colorado to the West Coast here to Stockton, California. And it's beautiful here. Mm-hmm. Nice, sunny California weather. It's like we should have come here sooner.
Mm-hmm. And you, sir, you played team challenge finals in the snow.
Actually, that was before we recorded the last episode. Oh, yeah. I just never brought it up because I don't want to brag too much about my big achievement.
Your big achievement? Well, that was the last tournament that you played. I guess today, I suppose, was the first tournament you played since Team Challenge.
Yeah. And it was awesome because it was terrible weather, terrible conditions, and we played a par 72 course through the woods. I have to admit, like, most of the par fours were tweeners, and the par fives were definitely tweeners. So a decent score was like 16 under.
Whoa.
But still, yeah, it was a battle, especially because I was at a wedding the night before. Ben Kenny.
Shout out, Ben Kenny.
People might know him as Intern Ben from the Nick and Mad Show, now Staggered Stance.
Those who don't are going to know him soon. He's on tour now.
He's on tour now with his brand new wife and motorhome, and he is basically the Dustin Wolf of Gannon Burr.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I saw somebody else doing Dustin Wolf last week for Bradley Williams at Kansas City. So the idea is catching on. But
I'm a pioneer.
Back to finals. So you were a little hungover?
Yeah, I obviously have basically quit drinking since October. And that wedding night was one of the nights where I decided to have a couple beers. And I very much remembered the next day why I have enjoyed not drinking. Because, God, it is not worth it. Like, a hangover is just, how do I describe? It's like a triple bogey and getting injured on the same hole. That's how it feels. You just question your existence.
I've never had a hangover.
Well, you're a lucky one.
I don't know why. I don't understand. I have drank enough to have deserved one. And I just haven't gotten one. Or at least in the way that, I mean, I felt groggy the next day, but not anything like what you're describing.
Some people just don't get them.
You're built tough.
Yeah. It's a genetic thing.
Too bad I don't really do a lot of drinking.
It's that Serbian ancestry.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the thickness of the veins.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And so what is exactly the format of Team Challenge Finals? How does it?
Okay. So we played an A pool, which is the highest pool. There's many, many pools, many, many teams. I think there's 8 teams per pool. And the top 4 teams make it to finals, and the top 2 teams get byes for round 1. So basically, place 3 and 4 have an 18-hole match, and whoever... No, how does this work?
If you lose, then you're the like true 4 seed, do you play the number 1 seed, or do you like play the 2?
I can't put it together right now. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know how it works. Maybe it's... No. Because there's like a quarterfinal and then a semifinal and then a final.
Whatever
I don't know how
it
many...
is, you won.
Whatever it is, we had a bye round 1. So if a team goes from the quarterfinals all the way through to the finals, they have to play 3 rounds of 18 holes on a par 72 course.
On the same day.
In one day.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was in 6 inches of fresh snow.
Ugh.
Absolutely miserable. When I woke up that day and I looked out of my window, I like couldn't believe it. And then I was just praying that they would reschedule this event because like the highway was shut down to the course and they had to like postpone it by an hour because half the teams were stuck in traffic.
Oh my gosh.
Dustin, who plays for a New York team in B pool, they had their finals at Maple Hill that day, and we all know Maple Hill's weather is always 80% worse than anywhere else in Massachusetts. So the conditions there were crazy, and Dustin actually, like, he told me he didn't get to the course in his car, and he was like slip and sliding in like crossings on the roads, and he got like super freaked out. He just parked at like a Dunkin' Donuts and had to get like picked up by someone who had like a bigger truck who could handle the weather conditions. And I mean, we're New Englanders. We handle these kind of conditions all the time. I'm telling you, it was sketch out there. Okay. But I had a first round bye, so I could easily just go there at like 11. And then I toughed out two times 18 holes on a par 72. And we won.
Did you go undefeated? It was emotional.
It was a huge deal to a lot of players on my team who've been playing this team challenge for over a decade, and they've never won.
Wow.
And they've often been the favorites and the strongest team, and they fumbled multiple finals, and there were tears. It was pretty cool. We went to a little brewery afterwards, and everyone was very happy.
Where does this rank amongst your greatest achievements as a disc golfer?
The big downside for Team Challenge for me is that obviously the way matchups work before each round, the team captains choose who plays who. So the team captain will place a player, and then the other team captain will face someone against him, and then they switch turns basically with that. And obviously strategically, the opposite team wants to put their worst player against me as like a throwaway match, because they don't want their good players to potentially lose against me, and they can waste a point that way.
Pawns. Not even a potential loss. It's like a...
Correct.
Well, I guess
it a throwaway match, where they basically just give me someone who's a weaker link on their team, and like it's not even a competition. Like even if I play the course blind and I don't play well, I mean, I've never lost a match. And it's not because I've been playing amazing disc golf. I can definitely honestly say that. It's just probably the reason I'm not going to join Team Challenge again is because my matches are just not matches, really.
So were you always in the placement team? Because like, I imagine if you were the opposite, like, because one team has to like put up a player to get faced off against. But if you were the team that like matches with the player already put up, couldn't your team captain like match you against a good player in theory? Like, who wants to play Paul Kranz, and then Team Buff like submit Simon, and then it's you versus Paul?
Well, yeah, I kind of was thinking that too, but Team Challenge doesn't revolve around me at all. And like the captains just really try to make the smartest decisions for their team, and they don't really care how I feel about it. Like I can go to my captain and tell him, hey, I really want a good match. Like, can you try to give me something strong, someone strong? And he was like, yeah, you know, we're trying. But if it doesn't make sense, then they're not going to, like, push for it just because I would have more fun that way.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about winning. And they wanted to win long before you were on their team. So
yes. I still enjoyed it. I got to see a couple new courses. But there's definitely a Team Challenge curse of weather. Like, we would have, like, perfect conditions for 2 weeks straight. And the one day it's miserable, that would be Team Challenge Day. And there were a couple times where I was very close to just getting in my car and saying, guys, not worth it. Especially even the finals. Like, Natalia, my wife, told me, don't go. Like, the injury risk is just so elevated in these conditions. Like, it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to call Andrew Johnson, our team captain, and kind of have him tell me, yeah, don't do it, not worth it, to kind of like get my out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't answer his phone. And then I had to go. Classic Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. Shout out, Andrew. But one thing I want to say lastly is that Casey White is on my team as well. And he also came home to play Team Challenge Finals. He's been on that team for also a long, long time. And I was texting him that morning about the conditions. I was like, bro, like, what are you going to do? And I want to tell you what he said. Oh, I texted him in the morning. This is at like 8 a.m. What's this bleep? Are you playing in this? And he said, yes, of course. And you are too. And he said, this is what Team Challenge is all about. I'm pumped. So that's the attitude 99% of the team goes in, and I'm just laying in my bed praying that they're canceling it. They love the adversity and the conditions. That's kind of what they live for.
It's like a part of the challenge.
Like the crappier the weather, the more snow, the colder, the windier, the slipperier the tees. That's what team challenge is all about.
We used to do a lot of that talk when I ran cross country in high school, and it was just like our coach used to always say that to us.
I feel like if you're from a place that has miserable weather, you just decide that that's your personality. Yeah. And it's fun to make fun of people who want to wimp out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah, I agree. Like the North people, like they anybody from the North takes so much pride in being able to handle the cold when they could really just like, I would say like half those people who like outwardly project this pride, inside they hate it.
They
want to be
it.
In Florida. And the same goes for the desert people who brag about how much heat they can handle. But deep down, they just want a little AC.
Uh-huh.
They just want a little AC. So, you know, put your pride aside.
It's like people who say they like driving a stick shift. Emmanuel. They say, oh, it's so much more fun. You can like feel the motor and drive with touch and all that, but no. Driving automatic is a million times more fun.
Do you still write your checks with a paper checkbook?
When I have to. Doing taxes as a disc golfer, you got to mail in checks to all these states that you cash in. They ask for checks.
Hell yeah. Speaking of taxes, I have Simon Wines.
Simon Wines!
Oh.
Tax season is just over. I'm a bit late on this. I just basically want to complain about taxes, not about actually paying taxes. I'm going to go this far. I hope this is not controversial, but I'm okay with paying taxes. I'm almost actually happy to pay taxes. I would go that far.
Almost.
And I'm also okay with not really understanding where that money goes or what it does. That being said, I think it is unbelievable how outdated the whole process is, how hard they make it for someone to understand what's going on and how to do this process correctly, and how easy they make it for someone to mess up. And it feels like they almost do it on purpose so they can collect more money for people who messed up in some ways. And that's my Simon Wines. Just like, it could be so simple. And it's just so hard. Like, I've been doing taxes now for many, many years. And, I mean, it is
just it easier in Germany?
Every time. Huh?
Do you think it's easier in Germany?
I don't know. I've never made enough money to pay taxes in Germany.
I just wonder if it's exclusively an American problem.
No, I would be surprised if it was. I think taxes are kind of a global thing where people have nightmares of it. And not necessarily because of the fact that they're paying taxes, but because of the process and how annoying and weird and complicated. And you're kind of left in the dark of what's going on.
You're definitely left in the dark. Shout out LWS for being some great accountants that help me out. I think they help Simon out as well.
Oh, yeah. They've been cool to work with and unbelievable. Shout out to taxes.
Yeah.
All right, next. That was quick.
I paid my taxes, and I have a good little accountant who helped me understand, and I have a QuickBooks that kind of sorts everything that comes in, and QuickBooks is insane. QuickBooks is like, if you think taxes is complicated, go learn QuickBooks. It's like a different language. If you want to just like take 5 hours out of your week, go learn QuickBooks, and I guarantee you, you'll make your life a lot easier. Unsolicited advice, because you can just set up everything automatically to get organized by the program itself. So when you want to, you just have to do it once for whatever previous year, and you just like teach the program what these expenses are and what categories to put them in, and then it just sorts it all for you. And I pay a bookkeeper to manage that for me, so that's like the extra level. You could just do it yourself, but I have a team who manages it for me, and then like a guy on that team who does the taxes. And I mean, I'm happy to pay taxes. I think yeah, I think my opinions on taxes get a little bit too political too fast for this podcast. So
let's go back to frothing.
Let's go back to frothing. The last time we recorded was the final morning of the Kansas City Wide Open.
Speaking of bad weather.
And Eagle, it was funny because I listened to that episode on Monday driving to Denver, and it was funny to hear you, now knowing what ended up happening, talking about how you just were hoping for a nice weather. And I mean, that's about as bad as it could have gone, the final round. Like rain, then a stop, then a full restart, and then like 20 minutes of play, and then another delay, and then eventually a 9-hole unsanctioned finish.
Yeah, so what happened for me was my tee time was originally at 2:40, and the weather was pretty bad all day, but there was a good window in the morning where it really wasn't that bad. So a lot of the field got to play and even finish their rounds. But when I got to the course, probably about a half hour before I was going to tee off, so around 2:10, they blew the horn. It was actually when myself and a bunch of other players, Calvin, Kyle Klein, Gavin Rathbun, we were all huddled under the tent, and we saw Seth Muncy, horn in hand, just... And right then and there, it's supposed to be about a 30-minute delay, but usually they're always around an hour. So we go back to our vehicles. I'm waiting. Get an update. Restart for me was at like around 4:15, 4:20, around that time frame. Head over to the tee about 15 minutes to go before I tee off. Like, it's clearing up, or there hasn't been any lightning, not much rain. Huge crack of thunder, like right over top of us. Horn again, another hour passes, and then they condense the round to 9 holes. And at that point, it was just like, get us out of here. Gannon was already winning by so much. And it's always tough because you don't really know what the right thing to do is, because there's a lot of people who finish their rounds who may have played well and they want their rounds to count. But on the flip side, it can be dangerous for the players and spectators. So there's every weekend, I feel like the Pro Tours has somewhat of a structure in place, but it kind of feels like we're all flying by the seat of our pants. And the best way they could think of was to just play 9 holes to let some of the players who already finished have some of their holes count. And it actually cleared up for the last 9 holes a little bit, but it was wet, not fun. I wanted to start driving away, but it didn't change the fact that Gannon took down his first Pro Tour of the year, and I was able to squeak in a top 10, which actually helped my fantasy points quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Paul, who was just on the podcast, did pretty well as also. So I think I made a pretty good comeback in fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about the weather stuff. You know, you can get as organized and have as many schedules as you want, but at the end of the day, we are an outdoor sport, and we are victims to Mother Nature and whatever she wants to do. But, I talked to Seth about it, and he basically told me that him and Austin were looking at the cell, and the front end of the cell had a lot of lightning, but the rest of the cell was completely just rain. And so they did the delay. The first delay was very much expected. Then they're like doing the wrap-up call as you guys are starting play again, and he's like on the phone with Austin. They were just talking about the whole proceedings, and out of nowhere, a strike. Like, right, he saw it and just jumped out and blew the horn. And it's just crazy that it was this one random strike of lightning, because it was literally one. Mm-hmm. And that was it. There was no other strike.
It was clear.
It was literally one random bolt of lightning that materialized out of thin air and
chopped our round in half. I had kind of an okay idea. Tell me if it was a bad idea. I was thinking they did it for Nashville. They did a cut the final day because they knew that it would have been very difficult for the whole field to play. What if they start doing cuts and then implement a shotgun start for these abbreviated rounds, because that means everybody at least plays at the same time. Like, it'd be kind of difficult, but I think for Kansas City, they could have moved some things around to where we could have got a full round in if we picked a good window and just did a shotgun start of sorts.
So it's like ladies finish at whatever, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And the men, 18 cards of men, shotgun start at 11:30.
Something like that, because that makes
the top 18 cards.
Yeah.
I like it. And then the lead card starts on
and it's
one.
Like, in my opinion, it could be the most fair as well, because everyone's playing in the same conditions. I hope somebody from the Pro Tour is
listening.
That 18th
card is going to have a lot of fun watching the lead card gallery play their entire round, because they literally are going to play 18.
Get some exposure.
That's right. Totally. Yeah. If there's any backups, the camera guys will just turn around and film the shots coming in behind them.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That's one way to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Chase card's like the worst thing to be then.
If you're not first, you're last.
If you're not last,
you're first.
Okay, well, fantasy updates then. That segues beautifully.
But let's just say that Bad Rock was a really good course for the Pro Tour. I hope to come back, and shout out to my longtime buddy, Jerry Patterson. He did a great job. Of course, it didn't go the way he wanted to the final day, but from my understanding, he put on a good show out there, and there's a high probability of coming back to Bad Rock in following years. So let's hope for...
If next year's schedule is posted and Emporia is back and Kansas City's out, I am going to boycott.
I'll do it with you.
I'll join you.
That would be so sad.
So if it's Emporia, then the three of us host a live event at Bad Rock the same week.
I didn't even get to play it. I'm kind of sad. I was really looking forward to it. So my decision to drop out was not the easiest one. I'm not going to lie. Looking at the weather that weekend, it helped. Feeling okay about it and making the FOMO a little bit better. But man, every time there's a big event and I'm not part of it, I definitely always feel a bit anxious about it.
It is wild.
I feel like I should be there and I want to be there. But yeah. Then when it's terrible weather and there's delays and
like, thank goodness
Gannon
I'm
Burr
home.
Shoots a 14 under round one, I get reminded that maybe it's good. I'm just hanging out with my children instead.
Yeah, what did you do? What were the highlights from the week?
The last two weeks. You're asking me that and I don't even remember what I did.
Didn't you
yesterday.
Get a dental procedure done?
Yeah, I did get a root canal, which sucked. And it didn't even make it a lot better. I'm worried I might need another procedure on the tooth next to it, which is just so annoying to think about. I'm going to stop right now. And I went to Michigan for a day. I already told you about this last week, right? We talked about
Michigan.
Yeah. And then I got sick. I was sick basically all of last week. And... yeah, when you have little kids who go to like gym classes and libraries and Emmett started preschool, I mean, the germs are flying.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to stay healthy. And like even the smallest cold sometimes just knocks you out for a day or two. And then it just lingers. For some reason, these colds nowadays are built different. They just linger for like a freaking week to 10 days sometimes.
That's our podcast episode. These colds are built different. I love that.
But yeah, somehow I've been lucky enough that at least during tournament weeks, I feel kind of good enough. And the colds usually hit me in the off weeks.
The last bad one I remember was... right before Mia was born, the week before she was born. That's the last time I remember
being really sick
in tournament week.
And I won that tournament.
Well, yeah, but that's like the Jordan flu game. I feel like that is if I was going to give the recipe for success for Simon for a tournament, I would make him a little sick that weekend or a little hungover or both. And I think that does enough.
And a little bit of back pain.
Yeah, I think it does enough to just take your mind out of it completely. And then the Lazat 1070 body just takes over. And there is something to be said. Kristen Lat.
Maple Hill 2021. I was so sick.
And I remember that too.
The first two rounds I played, and I was destroying it. I was in first place by like four strokes.
I remember that.
After the first 2 days.
I didn't see
that entire
week. And
then I started to feel better. And
I'm telling you what it is exactly. It is expectations you have on yourself.
Yeah.
If you feel like crap and your expectations are so low and you're just trying to get through it, it's just so much easier to perform because you're not worried about it. You're just throwing the shots, and that's the zone that's so hard to get into.
Well, I'm coming off of a little bit of a bug from this past week of driving, so watch out, Champions Cup.
Yeah, first round, hot round. Let's talk about. Oh, first we have to wrap up.
Let's just do
our
fantasy.
Yeah, sorry, we tangented there.
We have something to talk about.
Yeah, that's
speaking
what I was
of
about
fantasy,
to say.
Bethesda released Oblivion Remastered. All right.
Wow.
Side note:
is that what is that? EDM or
no? It's
trance?
A video game.
Oh, it's a video game.
Elder Scrolls.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Casey wide open. Eagle McMahon outscored Joey and Simon on the week, 530 points, and both of us 360.
Woo. We tied?
Well, I had 368, you had 361, and
okay.
Eagle was 530.5, which
wow.
For our season standings brings it very close, actually. Let's see. We have, oh my goodness. Okay, in third place at 2,469.36 is Eagle McMahon. In second place at 2,618.41 is Simon Lizotte, and in first place at 2,647.83 is Joey T. So very tight after the first.
Wow.
How many events have we played this year?
Five or six.
Wow, five. You're right. How did you know that so fast?
Because I think about it every day.
How many events we've played?
Yeah, I'm counting down until I'm done.
That
you're
was so impressive.
Done.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that impresses me with Simon a lot is when we play darts, we do like the scoring where instead of like putting in the value for each dart onto the phone, you like add it up in your head. This guy, I mean, he's played a lot of darts, but whether it's adding his score or subtracting down from whatever we had, it's like I can't even put the two numbers together in my head before he has the answer. It's unbelievably fast.
The human calculator.
I'll throw two darts, and I'm thinking about the total of what I just threw for the two darts, and he goes, you got 55 left.
Yeah, well, it's not doing math. It's just knowing exactly what is what, and you start like learning it without even thinking about it. Like, I don't have to like... In some cases, I have to like think and do math, but in a lot of cases, I see what you hit and like automatically tells me what the score and
just
what is
so
left.
Many reps.
Yeah, like I mean, I watch a lot of pro darts, and you watch the things they hit and they go for, and how that always is subtracted, and what they have left, and you start seeing patterns, and then you start just knowing, oh, if you have this score and then you hit a triple 19, that means then you have this score. You're not thinking what's 3 times 19, and then you got to subtract it from the actual number. It's just automatic. And speaking of that, real quick, Joey, I cannot respect you as a darts player until you start, at least in some ways, learning the outs, because it is hard to watch.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, elaborate for...
Like, when you have, like, let's say, 85 left... And you just go for whatever, and then you hit whatever, and then like you don't even think after that what you have left, and you just go for another thing.
Because
and then you leave yourself, like yesterday, for example, you had 33 left, and you went for 11 double 11.
What's wrong with that? That's
Joey,
two darts.
No, that is wrong on so many levels. I don't even know where to start. That is like... That's like running a 60-footer with OB 1 foot behind the basket, and you will lose your disc guaranteed.
Okay, so what's the move then? Do you just, because, okay, so you're saying because of going the 11 route, then you don't have as many doubles if you miss the double 11 versus
yeah, how many 11, how many doubles do you have left if you miss it? Zero.
Yep.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Okay, so the first one is a 3?
No, then you have double 15 left.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so then you want to hit like 7 for double 14.
No, that would be a really odd play. That would be better, but still extremely
double
bad.
Double 13. It would be 5.
No, you would go for a 1 double 16.
Oh, because then it's like...
Or 16, 9 8. Double 12.
So you're saying 5 double 14 is bad.
It's not necessarily bad.
It's not as good
bad,
because after 7,
odd.
You're screwed again. Yeah, all right. So it's the you want to get the
I
doubles.
I
want
to give you better,
Joey.
You just I see where he's going. You want to get the doubles that you can keep dividing by 2 all the
yes.
way to the end. That's why 20 is good, because it goes like 20, 10,
5.
But,
3.
But
16 30, is the best.
16, 8, 4, 2, 1. I mean, that's 5 doubles in a row. You can just, okay, it makes sense now. I get it.
So your homework till Washington is to study the out sheet.
I have the card.
Yeah, I want you to look at it at least 10 minutes a day.
Okay. Study the out
get
sheet.
Get on it, boy.
Okay. We can move on now.
Congratulations to Gannon Burr and
Holland
Hanley.
Let's go
Holland Hanley continues.
She's carrying my team.
Your team. And,
she's hauling your team.
So, yeah, I did you do I-80 on your way out?
I did 80.
I skipped 80 this year. I've done 80 5 times, and I went 70 to U.S. Highway 50, which is the Pony Express. Did you guys know about the Pony Express? Simon, do you know what the Pony Express is?
Tell me about the Pony Express.
You know what it is? Give me your best guess first, because I did that before I looked it up. The Pony Express.
It sounds like a train to me.
Is it something to do with, like, Lewis and Clark?
Nope. So it was about, I don't know when Lewis and Clark was. Was that, like, early 1800s?
I believe so.
Might have been even before that. Anyway, this is late 1800s. This is, like, 18, like, right around Civil War time. So the Pony Express was the... It was essentially a result of the 1848-49 California Gold Rush.
Ooh.
So it was a new territory in the U.S. Everybody went out to prospect gold, and all of a sudden, within like 2 or 3 years of this first initial finding of gold, there's like 380,000 people living in California. And essentially, California is a little cut off from the rest of the country, which is very developed up to the Mississippi River. And essentially, news took so long to get from the rest of the country out to California. It would sometimes, there was some saying that it took 6 months for Californians to find out who won the 1848 election. That was how long the news took. And so the Pony Express was a system of 400 horses. I think it was like 100 riders and 130 stations in between Missouri and Sacramento, California. And they took the time to deliver mail down from months to 10 days. And it lasted for 18 months before it went bankrupt. But it was the first high-speed mail-carrying system. And the stories from these riders is insane. I mean, these guys with letters on their back, they would switch horses every 15 kilometers and then they would switch riders every 100 kilometers. And they're basically going in an all-out sprint from Missouri to Sacramento, California. 80 riders. 80 riders. So one of the riders was Buffalo Bill Cody, who became one of the most famous figures in all the West. And these guys had to battle like Native American attacks and cross essentially uncharted territory. And so I got to drive some of that route, US Highway 50. Some call it, most call it, the loneliest road in America. And it was unbelievable. Some of the, we went through Gossageville, also known as Grand Junction, Colorado. and went through Utah.
I thought you actually went through a place called Gossageville.
Oh my God. Place called Gossageville. And then, yeah, we Nevada is boring no matter what route you're on, I found out. But 50 was still very cool, and ended up spending a few days in South Lake Tahoe with the homies. And, yeah, now we're here for the first major of the season. We have 37 baskets on the course for the practice week. You can believe that.
That's what it is.
That's a world record.
37 different pin locations across
MPO. Let's talk about that.
And FPO this season. Let's talk about
that. How do we feel about it, Eagle?
How do we feel about it? I think it's a bit complicated.
That's a feeling.
And my gut, if you want to hear my gut feeling, I don't necessarily like it.
Por qué?
But I'm okay with it, and I think it's good to try new things.
Yeah, I was listening to Yuli and Brody's podcast. Shout out Tour Life. They are our colleagues in the disc golf business.
Yep.
And Yuli said that he's a fan of trying things. He's not sure that a major is the right place to try things.
I mean, we've done multiple pin positions before.
Yeah, but not like this.
Okay.
This is like two courses in one, and some of the holes are like completely different.
Yeah. And some of them are almost exactly the same.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, so I talked to Leonard Muse, the designer, on when I was filming Ella and Holland's round, and they asked him about the multiple pins, and he kind of also like, you know, he's like, yeah, you need a bachelor's degree to understand this layout. As like a joke, basically. I thought that was pretty good. But he said mainly because, and I thought it was really interesting that he's admitted this about the property. He basically said, in my eyes, the purest golf is played in the woods with shot shaping and power. We don't have the ideal property here. And I think that a lot of these holes are too simple and too boring to have them be played for. He's like, I already didn't like them for three rounds, much less four in a row. And so I felt like given the property, we had to create variety and shot shaping and as much attempt to make the players feel like a woods course on a less than ideal property. And I think...
Wait, did you just call this property less than ideal?
That's what... Leonard Muse. I'm quoting.
Oh, he said,
I'm quoting. Yeah. I'm quoting Leonard Muse. Now, I think he mainly said that
it's
because
a great property.
I think it is a great property, but he basically said that at like in reference to what he thinks as the purest golf being in the woods, shaping shots as like the purest form of this game, and so he is like acknowledging that he doesn't feel they have like the ideal setup, and they're making it work because of the venue and because of the other things that go along with running a tournament. And Swenson obviously does a really good job at that. And Sean Jack and his whole team are definitely on my podium for best LOCs on tour, local organizing
definitely.
Committees, for those who don't
I mean,
know that.
Sean Jack is like, he's like top of the top when it comes to anything.
That's
disc
why
golf
we're
promo.
Playing Champions Cup here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also
people forget that you need to have a great LOC to run an event rather than just a great course.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He was also one of the first people to buy into the idea of the Disc Golf Pro Tour. I'm pretty sure he was on the first board and was one of the early, I mean, now obviously he has a full-time job there, but even back in the Steve Dodge days when I was young getting started, John was right there
yep.
at the helm. One of my favorite people to see every year. And,
I remember a favorite Sean quote that he told me when we played back in San Francisco at
Glen Eagles.
That was when the Pro Tour first started charging for tickets to come watch. And I remember Sean came up to me and said, you guys are finally cool enough that we can charge people to come watch.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I think you're right.
Yeah, he was. But I don't mind the multiple positions. My stance on it, if I was going to keep without adjusting the course, I would have essentially, I think it's bad to have that many holes to practice without allowing the players to have all day Saturday and Sunday to practice. There was zero incentive to come here early because there was a tournament happening on the property that weekend. So the only reward you get by showing up to the Kansas of California and paying $7 a gallon for gas 3 days early is that you get to practice after all the tournament's done, only in the FPO layout. And it was basically like around a tournament. And so if there was more appropriate practice time and it was made very public to all the players that there were this many pin locations and this course was going to require maybe a little bit more practice, like if that was kind of prefaced, I think it was kind of a surprise to a lot of people to show up and
We didn't get the caddy book till maybe late last week. So like pretty short turnaround to know what was going on.
You need to know if you need extra practice days, that needs to be something that players are made aware of as they're making their travel plans, which is a lot earlier on in the season for a lot of players. So
right.
I want to whine about the caddy book too. Simon, what? It didn't have a single whole course map where the whole layout is visible in like one picture.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I wanted, because I was scrolling through the holes, and I saw that some holes were different, and I wanted to kind of see on the property where they were so I could kind of, like, picture it.
I was looking for that, too.
And I couldn't find the freaking course map.
Also,
I was going crazy.
I hated that they did the A caddy book and the B caddy book. Just do an MPO caddy book and an FPO caddy book. Why, like, why are you making everybody look at two caddy books? If you just did an MPO and an FPO, there would be a few people who need both, but most people just need one. Like, what the heck? I don't need to, like, be, like, trying to tell between dark green and blue what is my hole. And I'm not even playing this week, but it was annoying.
You were filming practice rounds, which is important.
Why is Joey laughing now?
I got your freaking joke, dude.
Oh, I didn't say a joke.
You told a joke.
It was well.
Oh, my gosh.
But all right. I do like the fact that we're playing Swenson. I've always been a fan of playing on the West Coast, especially in Stockton, because I don't think we've had one bad day of weather ever out here.
Yeah.
And that's great, especially when we're coming from the Southeast, Midwest, where it's been absolutely miserable playing in cold, rain, wind. And it's probably going to be a little bit windy this week, but overall, we got sunshine, and it's going to be glorious. Get to see some discs fly, rip some drivers, and I'm always excited to be out at Swenson. I think it's a good property overall.
So this is my fourth time coming here to the Champions Cup, to the Stockton area, and this is my first time not staying in Stockton. We're in Lodi, and I just drove to pick up Will. Shout out Will.
Meaty guy.
He is staying downtown Lodi, and I've never been to Lodi until this year, and oh my gosh, it feels like if you were out and you're like 6 years old and it's like you and your buddy and you're like building a sandcastle and you don't like the way that he's doing it, and so you like get up and you draw a line in the sand and you're like, that's your side of the island, I'm going to the fun side. And you take your shovel and your little sculpting thing and you make the most badass castle ever. And then your buddy's just sitting over there with his little weird little lumpy thing because he doesn't have a shovel and he doesn't
have
a... Where
is this going?
And he's looking over at your castle and he's just like, man, I wish I was on the fun side of the island. And that is literally the difference between what Stockton feels like and Lodi. You it's like everybody, the reason
fired.
Well, like Forbes, what did you say? Was it Forbes voted it like one of the most 2012 most unpleasant city in the USA? And you know why? It's because everybody moved to Lodi. All the cool, pleasant people.
I had a fun interaction.
So I gotta interject a little bit. Did you know Ratana was born in Stockton, California?
Okay.
So there is greatness.
She moved away when she was three because her family wanted to get away from gang violence.
Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable.
But let me say this. We're going around Stockton, and there there is a lot of really great diversity here, and there's a lot of really great Thai and Lao food. There's a really good spot called Spice It Up that we went last year that we're planning on going again this year. And they kind of have everything. They have Planet Fitness. They have good grocery stores, good food. And I don't know. There's something I like about Stockton. Continue.
Yeah. Okay, I had a fun interaction just now coming from the course. I was at their little restaurant. Albert was so nice and bought me a Coke after our President's Cup round. And the bartender there, who is a Stockton local and has lived here his whole life, as he told me, asked me how I like Stockton. And he followed that question up immediately before I even said anything and said, "Don't worry, I won't be offended." And I think if that's what you say after you ask, "How do you like it here?" then that's a sign.
If it was in Kansas or any other place in the country, I think it would get a little bit of a different rap. But it's in California. You have some of the most amazing places, not just in the country, in the world, within a couple hours drive. You've got Yosemite, you've got Santa Cruz, San Francisco, the Redwoods,
Tahoe,
which is where I just came from. If you go north, you've got Mount Shasta, you've got Crater Lake, you've got the Cascades, the Olympic Peninsula. I mean, it's probably for nature one of the most amazing places in the world.
Last year, playing practice rounds for OTB, I got one practice round in, and I'm like, okay, I can go camping. Like, I feel like I can get one more practice round and be good. So I literally drove an hour and a half east, and I was in redwood trees, the Sierra Nevadas, and it's literally some of the most beautiful places. The Sierras are some of the most beautiful places in the world. It's incredible up there, and it's right here. I think the reason why I'm able to put up with Stockton, to prove your point, is it's just the vibe. You just know what's around you, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I can put up with this. Next week, I'm going to Mount Shasta. You're going to the Redwoods. It's like there's excitement in the air.
Sure, because it's the jumping off point for the nature tour, the West Coast.
Right.
And but let's just say this. Whenever you drive through Stockton for 20 minutes and tell me that you don't find entertainment out your window at every corner.
I was entertained today.
Oh yeah, there's a lot going on. And I would say that I'm one of the more comfortable people with maybe like a slightly sketchier place that I'm a well-traveled guy. I've lived in some very impoverished places that would make Stockton look like a country club. And even, you know, it's just Lodi just really blew my mind by driving through. I was like, oh my gosh, this all makes sense now. It's literally just the fun side of the island over here. I will say though, the OTB store, go to the OTB store. If you haven't gone to the OTB store,
do they have a storefront, or is it just the headquarters?
It's the headquarters. Okay.
But the
front side,
yeah,
that's the store. Oh, anybody can wander through. Okay. So you know right where the Triple Mando is that you have to go over in the main event, where that wall is?
Yeah.
So that whole front side is customers, and then the back side is shipping. The problem is that we're always here when the week where there's no like ordinary setup. Everybody's everywhere.
Oh my god!
And the store is closed for the week. And there's the. Have you played a main event before?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. 2021, when we first had the OTB open, is probably one of the most fun weeks I've had on tour. Just like going to OTB every night. There's always a party going on.
I had my birthday that week.
Joey had his birthday. We played the main event, and it just like it was a vibe, and it makes Stockton fun.
Yeah, and this year it's been upgraded to a major, and that staff, Andy and Sean and other Sean Mercy, they all deserve an event this big. And it's also really cool because it's you know, probably the flagship MVP event of the season.
Definitely.
And so we got all our MVP guys out here.
MVP.
Shout out. We got Rick from the Pro Shop, Donnie, Ben X, Will Davis, as Siri says, Will Davis 3 on my phone. And Andrew.
AJ.
Yeah. Andrew Johnson, new dad. And it's cool. If it just kind of feels a little bit bigger. Avery Jenkins is here. UC is here. Doug Bierkes from the PDGA.
Skinny Avery Jenkins is here.
Yeah?
Did you see him?
Did you tell him
Skinny
that?
Skinny UC too.
pretty normal UCI, I'd say.
Did you tell Avery that he looked skinny?
Yes.
And what did he say? Because I was too scared. I didn't like
want to. What did you think he was going to do to you?
I don't know. I just.
Wait, he was trying to get rid of that weight.
I mean, we just never talked about it. So oh, I didn't okay. know that was a goal of his. I don't know. Sometimes I get worried by saying, like, you look nice. And they're like, oh, really? I was that fat? And he wasn't. He was just built.
Well, he lost 40 pounds.
Let's go.
So, yeah, it's very impressive. He looks like 15 years younger.
How does he feel?
I don't know.
Probably amazing.
Avery is one of those people who just always feel good.
Avery is one of those people. Avery is the closest thing in disc golf to like a David Goggins, where you just don't quite understand how he does it all.
He just loves it yeah. so much.
He does. Yep.
He loves traveling so much. He loves new places. He loves disc golf courses. He's played over 1,600 disc golf courses now.
Catching up to Matt Syme.
Catching up to Mr. Syme. And he's just one of those guys that is just always ready for whatever.
Yeah.
And yep. I think it's really cool. I wish I had a bit more of that.
So he was here this week for President's Cup, which
yeah.
got handed by UC Maresma to the PDGA. So the President's Cup is now run by the PDGA and is going uh-huh. to be alternating between the U.S. and Europe every year going forward now. And I do also have a hunch, no confirmation, but I have a hunch that in future years the format is going to change a little bit for the better. I think it's going to be a little
we
more
need
entertaining.
Doubles.
That's it's yeah, there. So what, from what I understand, the proposed format that's being looked at is the way they play college disc golf nationals right now, which is a doubles heavy tournament.
It's like you have a little more than a hunch.
It is more than a hunch.
Okay.
It's a little more than a hunch.
Okay.
I talked to Phil and Andy on hole one about it, and those are the guys who make that
exclusive
decision.
Exclusive Crush Pepper.
I feel like people are going to. So my hope is that none of these people that I talk to, like Jeff and Seth, I just hope none of them listen to this because then they'll stop talking to me.
They'll never stop talking to you, Joey. I don't know what you're talking about.
So President's Cup happened today. And you were a part of Team Europe for, do you know what number it's been?
Yeah, that was my seventh.
Seventh? Wow. In a row?
Yeah. Nope, I missed 2 years ago, I think, because I didn't go to Finland because of visa issues.
That's right.
And okay. I think, yeah, that's the only one I missed.
So seventh?
Yeah.
And what was the behind the scenes, getting ready with Team Europe. Did UC say anything to you guys? Was there any extra stuff besides just the jersey? I know the USA guys got pullovers from Avery.
Yeah, I mean, if you're facing a 12-0 record against your opponent, it's a little challenging to get into a good mindset, of course. But on those nine holes, we all knew anything could happen. Niklas has been playing phenomenal this year, so a lot of the Europeans, why so often we do so poorly is because we don't, at least most of the team doesn't have the experience of playing on this big stage against these top 10 players in the world, basically.
And that's changing.
But now, like, all the people on our team are veterans on tour. Like, there's not one person that doesn't have all the experience you could need for a matchup like this. So I actually walked up to UC like 30 minutes before the whole opening stuff started, and I said, let's, before we start, get into a circle and you do a motivational speech before the round. And you see, agreed, to my
yes.
surprise of it.
Yes, we should do it.
I can do it, he said. I can do it.
I can do it.
And yeah, we got into a circle and you see was just pumping us up like he does.
So it was good.
You know what? It was okay. I was hoping for a little more, but I guess it's a very American thing to
you're
do these circles and these like hyping up your players. Like, I mean, UC is so European and so Finnish. Like, it's like he's almost like too honest and realistic, and then you can't really pump someone up that's too honest and realistic. So I think I'm Americanized enough at this point where I think I could have stepped up and just said some more unrealistic.
You're going to be the captain someday.
I think you're right.
I know.
Well, then you got to have the perfect speech ready.
That's one. Actually, now that we're talking about this, that's one of my favorite parts of Team Challenge, because we did that. I think that's the main reason I even had this idea with UC today, is before every round of Team Challenge, we do this circle, and the speeches we get there are, I mean, they're not safe for work, first of all, but they are unbelievable. Like, they really pump you up, and they go all out. Like, it is
unbelievable. Is it the same person every speech, or does it rotate?
They switch it up a bit, but usually one of our captains does it. We have two captains, and then random people just start shouting stuff into the circle, too.
Who are the captains for Team Buff?
Kyle Moriarty.
Okay.
And Steve Economos.
Oh, yeah. The Economos brothers.
Yeah.
Those are 2/4 of Shed Zone.
Shout out Shed Zone.
One of my old favorite disc golf shows ever. I really thought those guys had something going, and I worked at Jomez at the time, and I tried to essentially absorb that show for Jomez because
they were killing it.
I thought that their concept of the draft and the betting was so spot on with what the sport needed. I just thought it was great.
People.
And their characters were so funny, and they were very entertaining. They just clearly lacked production, which was fine. Not what it is at the beginning. So that's what I was trying to bring to it. But yeah, maybe one day there'll be a show like that again. I hope it's them. They deserve it. They did it first.
Yeah. The internet is a bit too soft for their format.
Maybe. Maybe it is.
I think that was one of the reasons it kind of fell apart.
Uh-huh. Well,
because they don't hold back. They go all in.
They're New Englanders.
And they don't care. That's what makes it so fun and entertaining, but it's not for everyone.
Speaking of entertaining, both of our men's basketball teams are in the middle of some very entertaining series. Have you paid any attention to your Nuggets?
My dad told me what's going on.
So do you know the series score?
Yeah, Nuggets are up 1.
3-2.
3-2.
Yep.
3-2, and Jamal Murray just had a really great game, 43 points, and Joker only had 13. So they're trending in a good direction, so fingers crossed that the Nuggies can pull it off. And Joey, his Timber Puppies, are doing work against Luka. Luka and LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think game 4 had some controversial calls at the end there. A little tripping that they didn't get called. A little out of bounds that turned into a foul against the Lakers. But the other two games that we won, game 1 and 3, were dominant wins. I had a hunch that our size stacked up decent against the Lakers, or a lot of teams, I think. I'm worried, obviously, for potentially Golden State, although they were getting smacked by the Rockets before we started recording. So that's going to be... I don't think they're going to win that series tonight. But I feel like this is our window. 2 or 3 years ago, we were the worst statistical franchise in the 4 major sports. And the last time a Minnesota team made the finals, outside of the Lynx, we have to give the Lynx, WNBA, their due credit because they won 3 championships in 5 years. But outside of them, the last time a Minnesota sports team made a final, do you want to guess?
I don't even know. Was it the Twins?
It was the Minnesota Twins in 1991 when they won their second World Series. And
fall of the Soviet Union.
The fall of the Soviet Union. That's how long it's been. And so this is definitely one of our best chances. I suppose we'll see how it all plays out. It's all about who gets hot at the right time. But I just think we have finally started to gel together. DiVincenzo has been shooting really good in the second half. And Julius Randle, I feel like that's the story of our team the last 3 years. The first half, it always looks weird. And then after the All-Star break, they seem to find their chemistry and it all kind of works out. So game 5 is happening right now. So I need to go watch that.
You want to go watch that?
It just started an hour ago. It started when we started.
Oh, okay. Well, do we have anything else we want to tackle before we close this?
Well, I made a little Instagram post that we're recording, and I put a Ask Us Anything.
Yes.
And we could do a little rapid fire questions to close it out.
100%.
Brilliant.
All right.
Actually, I'm going to close it at the end of that with a quick unsolicited advice, but that'll be a brief close after the questions.
Okay, so I'm going to go just bounce back and forth, you two. I'm going to ask Eli a question, and he answers, and then I'm going to ask Joey a question, and you answer, and then I'm going to go back
and
forth.
You don't want to answer?
No.
Okay.
and I'm not, like, pre-reading these, so this might be terrible.
Okay.
This is not planned. We're just winging it. All right. Why don't you bag the time lapse anymore?
I do bag a time lapse.
Okay. How do you get comfy with running a putt but not risking the next putt in case you miss the first?
I would say that I make a decision about running a putt, and if I choose to run the putt, I'm no longer thinking about anything else other than the chain. So, like, the next putt, if I'm thinking about another putt, I shouldn't be running putt one.
Brilliant. What's the most difficult type of disc golf throw?
Dead straight.
We love it.
That's great.
If you could go back in time and develop one of your disc golf skills more, what would it be?
That's a really good question. I would develop maybe, I think I would develop an overhand? No, I would develop my circle two putting.
Very good. What's a skill you are proudly bad at, but you want to be good at?
Proudly bad at?
Like,
what
anything,
shot
though.
Do you know you're ba- like? Oh. You just know you're bad at it.
The pterodactyl?
No, like a flex shot, like a short range flex shot. I want to be better at it.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely forehand putter or mid ranges. Like, I'm so bad at that; it's almost embarrassing.
I have to say something?
No.
Oh, I mean, I can.
Where are we here?
Proudly bad at.
What do you recommend to improve accuracy? Play catch. Next.
Yeah, seriously.
When are you guys doing a live podcast?
Never.
A live podcast. That's different than a filmed podcast.
That's too risky for our careers. Why name every pod episode?
Because we're fun like that.
Why did we do it? Oh, I don't know.
I think we like it.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay. What keeps you motivated to keep trying to improve so you can compete for a win?
Because disc golf is addicting, and once you've tasted the sweet taste, the beautiful succulent nectar of victory, you want to taste it again.
Beautiful.
That's true. All right, this one's
for
Joey.
It does not satisfy, and I can't even say this from like a position I haven't won, but
it's not even winning. It's just
playing
well and just having that feeling.
You think that it would satisfy you, but you just want it again after you've done it for the first time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, yeah, that was cool. Now let's do it again.
Call Paul up here to answer that question.
I mean, he's still here, right?
Next time.
But isn't that crazy? He's still here with his wife and his son, and he has no reason to need to be out here grinding away for his 17th professional season. But he is, because of that same exact taste in the nectar that he also tasted.
It's the nectar. That's a good podcast episode name.
Joey, who is winning Champions Cup?
Who's winning in MPO and FPO? Okay. In FPO, I'm going to say Kristen wins because of sidearm accuracy. And in MPO,
choose wisely.
I'm going to say Calvin Heinberg. I think he's been playing this year.
But he won last year. This tournament.
Defending champ.
I think no one's ever defended here.
Well, I think he's going to win his first major of his career, which is crazy to say. Calvin Heinberg hasn't won a major. Can you believe that? Arguably one of the best players
I can't believe it.
Well, Simon and I will do our best to make that not a reality for Calvin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many majors do we have in this room?
Two.
Are you majorless?
Yes.
So you also haven't won a major. And you've won more tournaments than Calvin.
Calvin? I don't think I have one.
I think you have one more. No. Elite. He's 11-time Elite Series champion.
Yeah, I'm 9.
Okay. That actually impresses me more about Calvin than it does about you, because I know that you had won a lot, but I didn't realize Calvin had won that many. Impressive. Well, should I read any emails, or should we just do this?
I think we're good. It was over an hour.
I think we're getting a good backlog of emails, and we're going to start. We're going to start hitting them up.
Next week. I've been reading a lot. Okay, so then I'm going to close this very quickly with a unsolicited advice for Netflix. For your Netflix and chill, probably not Netflix and chill, probably just Netflix, when you're needing a little time on the couch. A new show that I have watched, not a lot of, but 3 or 4 episodes, and I really enjoyed it. And the people who showed it to me, shout out Ellie Lucier and Casey White. She allowed me to say Lucier, even though she says Lucier. But it feels French. Anyway, the recommendation is for Love on the Spectrum. It is a show about people on the spectrum of autism dating. And it is seriously one of the most amazing TV shows I have ever watched. And I think every single person on the face of the planet could learn a thing or two from watching that show. I think we all are so concerned with what everybody else thinks about us. And then you watch this show and you just see like how much these people are they're unaffected by portraying their emotions so publicly. And it feels to me like they live so much of a more profound life. We're so scared to let people see how we really feel that we never experience the depths of those highs and lows in life, because we're so scared to guard ourselves and not embarrass ourselves by getting too excited or too sad. And watching Love on the Spectrum makes me feel almost a little bit of like regret, of like a little FOMO, of like that I didn't fully allow my emotions to be like fully expressed. And it's just really eye-opening to see these people be so kind of untethered to that concept of the fact that everybody is watching you. They don't care, and it just seems like their lives are so much better because of it. So that's my unsolicited advice. And you both have watched the show as well.
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't. Simon, well, you've seen it.
Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. I think all those people are the most heartwarming and
Heartwhelming. That's
heartwhelming.
That's a word. The I think you went so for heartwarming. Good.
What did I say?
Heartwhelming, underwhelming, overwhelming, and heartwarming together.
Oh God,
I like heartwhelming.
Heartwhelming.
that's
a
good name.
That's a great podcast name.
Well, I meant heartwarming. Sorry. Yeah, just so wholesome. I guess that's the word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I just think we could all be a little bit more like them in some ways and just like care a little bit less about what everybody's thinking. And I think it will allow us to experience some moments more profoundly.
Absolutely. That was beautiful, Joey.
Yeah. Well, thank you, listeners, so much for tuning in to episode 16. And, look at all these titles we get to choose from. I like Heartwhelming.
The Joni Express?
Oh, the Pony, the Joni Express. These colds are built different. I like that too. I don't mind Heartwhelming.
I like Heartwhelming.
Simon?
Let's do it.
I feel a bit bad. Are we making too much fun of your bad pronunciations? I hope it never actually gets to you. It's always poked in good
Mahim.
Fun. Mahim. I told Rick and Donnie, when I saw them, that if Simon ever does like a mayhem, that they need to do like a each stamp with like the different way that he said it.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Like for each stamp, and it'd like write it out phonetically the way that he said it. I think that would be so hilarious. I just want to once again thank all of our amazing fans. I have more conversations on the disc golf course about the podcast than anything else. I feel like it's the perfect icebreaker for people to come up to me and say they love the podcast or ask about a segment, and it makes my day every day. I had three conversations with people when I went down to President's Cup today, and I told all three of them we're heading back tonight to record the next episode, and they were all excited and just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next week in the off week in Massa North Cal.
We'll be all doing it remote.
Massa North Cal.
Let's go, guys. See ya next week. And good luck this weekend to everyone who needs it.
Good luck to you, Simon.
Oh,
Gesundheit.
Your socks almost flew off.
That one was building up for like 10 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're the send-off, man. Oh, my goodness. Maybe not today. All right, I'll do it.
Allergies here in
Stockton. We were doing so well, and now we'll have to edit all this at the end.